is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, all that kind of stuff. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 54, then your company should be advertising right here on our show. Our audience is 95% male, and 78% of our audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise in their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable, so make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any requests. So, Cody, the Cameron Payne getting buckets.
Not getting buckets, shooting a lot of shots. Professional shot taker.
The buckets aren't going to get themselves. You got to shoot a lot to make a lot.
Well, he did hoist a lot of shots, 14 of them in the Bulls' 109-95 loss at Detroit, which was the final game. The Bulls will play at the Palace of Auburn Hills as the Pistons are moving to Downtown Arena next year.
But, Little Caesars Arena.
Little Caesars Arena.
The pizza box.
It's so good. I bet there will be 100 great promotions in conjunction with the name of Little Caesars Arena.
Probably. Probably involve pizza.
Well, the Bulls...
will not be celebrating with pizza after tonight's game.
That's a good segue because...
a very good segue.
They were absolutely awful in basically the final two quarters for sure, but really their defense was atrocious in the final three quarters. The Bulls only gave up 14 points in the first quarter. Pistons scored 95 points combined in the final three quarters. They shot, I think, around 57% in the second half of the game when the Bulls were outscored 58-40. Chicago's offense shut down in the fourth quarter, only shooting 30%. A lot of the problems that have plagued the Bulls this year when they've lost, showcase themselves again. One of them was campaign, shot 5 of 14 from the field. Did make 4 3-pointers, which was good news, had 14 points. Jimmy Butler at 27 points was much more aggressive with 7 of 16 from the field. But, Sean, just instant reaction. What stands out to you in this Bulls game? It's kind of like a broken record sometimes.
It really is. And I guarantee you, we obviously weren't there, so we didn't hear what people were saying afterwards, but like in the locker room, but... I guarantee you the words taking the ball out of the basket probably came up, because that's been a thing that they point to a lot when they aren't, getting into transition, pushing the pace, which they did a great job of in the first quarter when they got out to that big lead.
Yeah, I think they had 10 transition points early in the first quarter, and then they had 7 the rest of the game, so...
Yeah.
That second and third quarter, they didn't get out and run at all, and what happened was the ball ended up in the hands of Jimmy Butler a lot in isolation in the latter stages of this game. In the second half, it ended up in campaign's hands a lot in such situations. And, like, there were some bright moments in that sense. Anytime Jimmy scores 27 points and takes 16 shots from the field, like, all in all, that's efficient. He got to the free throw line 13 times, but...
And especially after the last few games where... In the last game against the Clippers, he only took 7 shots the entire game. And then after the game, he said that he wasn't really worried about how he wasn't taking that many shots, and he was just trying to make the right plays. And then apparently this morning at shootaround, according to the various reporters who were there, he said, "I should be taking more than 7 shots in a game. Like, I'm definitely going to be doing that tonight." And then he did it. He was efficient. He got to the free throw line 13 times. He was not the reason they lost this game tonight.
Yeah, but there exists a larger problem here. And the Bulls at their best are at their best when they're playing off Jimmy. At no point in time in this game did it feel like they were playing in conjunction with Jimmy, off of Jimmy. Opportunities opening up for others. He had 4 assists. I don't I don't contribute that to a lack of passing, per se, or anything. Obviously, he made more of a point to pass the ball out of double teams against the Clippers and some of these teams in recent games and weeks. But it just, there was no flow there. Like, the Bulls' offense, theoretically, we should say theoretically here, Sean, because they don't always put this into practice, but Hoiberg always stresses side-to-side ball movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, if a defense is overflowing one side, overloading, swing that ball around, and at some point he thinks there's going to be an opening in that defense where they can't recover if you have good spacing. That's why, like, the spacing works in conjunction here. Or he thinks you're going to have an open three-point shot from an efficient spot on the floor from a decent shooter, theoretically. And I know the Bulls don't have enough shooters to make that happen. They don't have enough guys always off the dribble who can make that happen. Got to point out, no Dwayne Wade or Rajon Rondo in this game. Dwayne Wade, because of a thigh injury that they haven't traced back exactly to when it happened in Saturday's loss to the Clippers.
Wade was pretty bad injury. In the last game. I wouldn't be surprised if something was bothering him.
Maybe even before Rajon Rondo, the ankle injury when he stepped on Doc Rivers in the loss on Saturday night against the Clippers. So, two alphas, but two, again, guys who can take the ball if the bounce weren't playing. And when they're not there, it just feels like the offense is a little like disjointed when Dwayne's not out there, because there's not anyone creating off the bounce, you know, sometimes when that ball gets swung to the other side. But, like, again, just didn't feel like they were moving the ball well enough or playing off Jimmy in that regard.
No, and then there was also just, again, some weird stuff going on with some of the rotations. Like, Michael Carter-Williams gets back in. He's playing with Cameron Payne a lot of the time in the same way that he was playing with Rondo back when he was in the rotation before they traded for Cameron Payne.
Second and fourth quarters early on for, like, four or five-minute stretches, Payne and MCW in the backcourt. And, I mean, it was the start of the second quarters when it started going south for him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're up 12 at the end of the first quarter, and then, boom, the bench comes in. And, I mean, I don't know how much you attribute to Payne and Carter Williams being out there at the same time, for example, especially on a game. Again, Payne shot 4 of 9 from 3, which was great for the Bulls to see. He wasn't efficient all in all with 5 of 14 from the field, per se, but, like, he contributed in that regard offensively. Like, do you trace that to them being on the floor, some of those offensive struggles starting in that second quarter? And, I mean, defensive breakdowns, too. Michael Carter Williams and Cam Payne isn't exactly a all-NBA defensive backcourt either.
Right, well, I would actually trace more of the offensive breakdown to kind of early on in the third quarter or midway through the third quarter when they started going with the Hackett Drummond strategy. And there was actually even one point where Robin Lopez intentionally fouled Drummond, got a flagrant foul call on him, but he did it when there were less than 2 minutes left in the quarter, not realizing that if you do that with less than 2 minutes in the quarter, there's going to be one shot in the ball, which, like, defeats the purpose of it.
No, that was in the third quarter. They don't do that in the third quarter. They only do that in the last couple minutes, the second and fourth.
No, game. I'm pretty sure it's the third.
No, only the last two.
Well, so it was a flagrant foul. He got one shot in the ball.
Oh, maybe it's a. I got.
Maybe because it was a flagrant. But either way, like, you could just kind of notice it when they started fouling Drummond, making Drummond go to the free throw line, and
the flow got broken up.
But to his credit, Drummond made 4 of 8 free throws, 50%, which for him is pretty good, but. You know, once, and this goes back to what they always talk about, which is taking the ball out of the basket, which is, you know, when you're at the free throw line and just watching a guy shoot free throws, it's a lot harder. Like, the other team is going to have a better chance to get their defense set up while you're, you know, taking the ball out of bounds, as opposed to in the early part of the game when they were having so much success, you know, pushing the ball in transition and just outrunning Detroit. They just, you know, it slowed down, and that just was going to work to Detroit's advantage.
Yeah, and we need to point out here, like, this loss for the Bulls, Pistons and the Bulls are both now 31 and 32.
Right.
This East playoff race really got tightened up tonight, because the teams that entered the night in 6th and 7th each lost, the teams that entered the night 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th all won. So now the Bulls and Pistons are currently tied for the 7th seed. The Bulls sitting in the 8th seed based on the tiebreaker. Detroit has won 2 out of 3 this year against them so far. So that final game in Chicago will be important for tiebreaking purposes. Yeah. Because if the Pistons get it, they get a game in the standings and a possible tiebreaker for a 7-8 seed, however that plays out. So again, big game in that regard, in that sense. Want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by SeatGeek, which is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football, basketball, baseball games you want to see up close and in person this season, any sporting event, concerts, it's great. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. It can be anywhere, anytime, with just a few taps. Instantly find seats for this weekend's game or any game of the season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, too, so that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket, 100% back guarantee, so you can shop with confidence on SeatGeek. Here's what we need Locked On Bulls listeners to do. Go download the SeatGeek app, click the settings tab, add a promo code, and enter the promo code LOBULLS. That's LOBULLS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Use promo code LOBULLS today. How should the Bulls move forward with this Jimmy Butler as the focal point of the offense? Or how do they get back, Sean, to doing what they were doing best with him? Because this got mentioned the other day at Fred Hoiberg's media availability, I believe, on Sunday. The question brought up, how do you play fast, get up court, get easy buckets, theoretically, again, sometimes the Bulls put that into practice, but how do you get up court and do that when Jimmy likes to play in the half court and be isolation? And this isn't to say that Jimmy isn't good at finishing dunks in transition when he has opportunities. He's high efficiency. Like, he is still good at that. But, I mean, overall speaking, like, Jimmy Butler is a basketball player. He's methodical and will break you down in the half court, use his strength, smarts, get to the free throw line. Can the Bulls make this work where you balance the two? Because Hoiberg said it is a balance and you got to try to do both.
Well, right. And I think what we've kind of been seeing is that in the first unit, they've been doing a lot of half court stuff with Jimmy and Wade out there. And then in the second unit, when Rondo was kind of out there with some of the bench guys, or maybe he's out there with either just Wade or just Butler, he's the one who's out there trying to push the pace. So it's sort of, with different units, they're doing, running different styles and, just based on what personnel they have out there. I do think the loss of Rondo hurt them tonight in terms of having a point guard who's able to actually push the pace like that consistently, which he had been doing lately.
Yeah, and I mean, Hoiberg was bandying around the idea of putting Rondo back in the starting rotation. I should say at least had discussions with coaches, and then they decided, no, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. This game allowed Jaren Grant and Campaign to get more minutes.
By the way, Jaren, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well. He shot 3 for 7 from the field, but he did a pretty good job of running the offense.
Yes, offensively, he was fine. Defensively, good in the first half when Reggie Jackson, needs to be pointed out, I believe was 1 of 8 from the field for 2 points. Second half, Reggie Jackson got cooking. 24 points, I think, on 10 of 10 field goals. And let's just say Jaren got burnt quite a few times by Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm. Couple of them really tough shots by Reggie Jackson. Couple times Reggie just torched him off the bounce. The Bulls defense, not tied together at all. It wasn't just that they were physically getting beat. There were times where Jaren Grant let Reggie Jackson go one way expecting help and there was no help. I don't know if it's on Jaren, Robin Lopez, Bobby Portis.
The communication wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't know who on that end is responsible for that, but it was bad. And again, Fred the other night fought back at the idea that he's not communicating well with the Bulls off the floor, what their roles are. On the floor here, I felt like they didn't know their responsibilities enough, or they weren't communicating them well enough. Because, again, it was physical sometimes, just a slower-footed defender getting beat or a weaker defender getting bullied by a stronger guy. At the same time, they weren't tied together at all. It's almost like new problems are cropping up again.
That's the kind of thing that, this is another place that I think the loss of Rondo kind of hurt them, because he's a guy, he's a very hit and miss defender at this point in terms of his own physical abilities, but he's always calling stuff out defensively. He's the one that is always, you know, communicating and calling out plays and calling out the other team's plays and that kind of stuff. And that's something that people have praised about him consistently throughout the season. And not having him out there, you know, you don't have that one guy, that one veteran guy that everybody, that he's going to know what all the other team's plays are and he's going to be able to call them all out.
Yeah, that's
part of it.
Certainly a good point. Did want to say, I looked up that rule. You're absolutely right, Sean. It's the final 2 minutes of any period this year.
That's what I thought.
That got
it's a new change
instituted last offseason.
Yeah,
and that's why one of many reasons I keep you around, because you make me a lot smarter about basketball. What do the Bulls do now? They go Wednesday to Orlando.
Who, by the way, started their starting front court tonight in Orlando was Jeff Green and Damian Rudange.
Yeah,
so the Bulls should win that.
Weren't those two like 6 and 7 on the big man depth chart when the season started? Did they even exist?
The
Magic program.
The Magic are maybe one of the only teams in the league that's more directionless than the Bulls are. because at least the Bulls have Jimmy Butler. They have a top 10 guy in the league. The Magic is just like, I mean, I guess Aaron Gordon is pretty good supposedly, but like he hasn't really shown much. Yeah,
the Bulls got I will give the Bulls this. This is an earnest comment. Like, they have a plan for the rest of this year.
Right, they do. But I the Magic, like, they're still at the point. Like, they traded Serge Ibaka, so obviously they traded away, you know, one guy. But they're sort of still in that zone. They're not going to be bad enough to really compete with, like, the Nets and the Sixers and the Lakers for, like, one of the top draft picks. But they're just, like, the East is just mediocre enough that, like, they're not quite all the way. I mean, I would say they probably would lean more towards tanking at this point, but like that's a matchup the Bulls should win. I believe they've beaten them both times they played this year.
Yes, the game in Orlando I believe was the first game Jaren Grant started at point guard. Whenever that was
that the that was January and that, that you know something? that was the game right before the Hawks meltdown with Wade and Butler calling people out. It was the game before that.
Yeah, and this game was kind of reflective with Wade and Rondo, two veterans out. Say what you want, but Rondo, you have been kind of, he has been reliable in what he'll give you lately. He has contributed offensively with assists and some playmaking for teammates and finishing around the hoop a little better, but still not being an efficient basketball player in general offensively. And he'll still be taken advantage of defensively. And if the ball's out of his hands on offense, he's a nothing regarding shooting. But he has been consistent in that lately.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Wade, 2 of 11, I think, the other night, and has had some poor games this year, not shooting at a good clip. But generally, you still know what you're going to get with a rested Dwayne Wade. When you have these young guys taking on bigger roles, I guess this Pistons game, this is just kind of what happens. And who knows if D-Wade and Rondo play on Wednesday again, like, you could have the same problem. Like, I mean, just, not just minute to minute, but sometimes possession to possession. Like, the Bulls are doing great things, and then they can't replicate it for a 3-minute stretch. Then they look great, and then they can't replicate it again. I guess these are the growing pains, and I guess this is why it might be ambitious still to expect a playoff berth this year. In my mind, I know you've expected it, but to me, there's so many factors here for the Bulls when you're trying to do more than one thing in a season.
Well, the biggest thing is there's just no consistency to their rotation. Like, it's the kind of thing, like, Michael Carter, and I know Rondo was out, but Michael Carter-Williams hasn't played in several games, basically since the start of this post-All-Star break period, and then he gets in tonight and is playing alongside another point guard that can't shoot. He decides to put Anthony Morrow in when the game isn't completely over yet, even though Anthony Morrow hasn't played any meaningful minutes yet. He's just still throwing stuff out
there. I completely understood the Morrow move. You're down like 10, 12, 13, and you need shooting. You're 41% career three-point shooter. Line him up, let him light it up.
But you're still throwing out a guy who has played like 4 minutes total with the Bulls this season.
It took like, what, one or two possessions for Reggie Jackson to get around him and then stop and shoot a jumper and get fouled on it too? Whatnot. It felt like. So it's just, again, the consistency isn't there. And I don't know what Fred does either. Because he gets criticized for not having consistent rotation, which is understandable. But then they don't play consistent basketball, these young guys. So it's like, what do you do? You know, I don't know if there's a move you make, Sean, because I think they just got to keep riding the wave here of letting Bobby Portis, of letting Denzel Valentine, Jaren Grant, figure it out on the fly.
And I would agree with you. I mean, the roster at this point just kind of is what it is, and that's a problem. And I think that falls more on management than it is on Fred. Like, he certainly hasn't done a great job of managing this stuff, but like, what are you supposed to do with some of these pieces that they have? Like, these pieces don't fit together. This has been a problem the whole season.
I feel like this game too, when they go mega isolation ball, whether it's with Jimmy or the ball ending up in a guard's hands around the perimeter later in the shot clock and movement lacking, I feel like their development's a little stunted in this game, too. Like, if you're really hoping for development in this game, like, you just developed a style and action that you don't want to replicate moving forward. So, like, again, they need to get back to that ball movement somehow, and maybe this is a case of water's going to find its level because Jimmy was too passive, and then in this game, maybe too isolation heavy,
right,
and he'll find the key middle ground moving forward. But the Bulls, it's what it's always been. It's a 500 basketball team that is now one game under 500 at 31-32. The playoff race, crazy as ever. Here come the Bucks. Here come the Heat. Here come the Hornets. Do you have any hope for any of those three teams?
Tony Snell, baby.
We do have a Tony Snell update. He had 21 points at one point in the third quarter tonight, I believe. And thus ends your Tony Snell update, right?
Tony Snell, baby.
Goodness gracious. The Bucks are coming.
The Snell train is running.
I mean, I don't know if he's the one powering the train, but he's certainly a passenger on board on the first car, too. Certainly. So we'll keep you updated. As always, follow Sean on Twitter, @Hyken, myself, @CodyWesterland. Find Locked On Bulls on Twitter and Facebook by its name. Email us @LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries. Always welcome. Basketball questions are always great. We appreciate that. And most of all, please do subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere that you can find podcasts, make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe and check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well for all your NBA and NFL needs. We'll be back with you after the game against Orlando on Wednesday. Thanks for listening to Locked On Bulls.